In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we celebrate today the first Sunday of Advent. We have the first reading of Jeremiah prophesying of the coming of the Lord, and the promise of the Messiah shall be filled. And then you have the Gospel referring to our Lord's second coming, when he shall come in glory. And then we have the two middle, the second reading and the responsorial talk about knowing God and the here and the now. So this time of Advent is a preparation. First, the coming of celebrating our Lord's birthday, December 25th, his first coming into history. The second is the time we celebrate the presence of Christ in the world today in the mystery of the Eucharist, that he remains here so that we can be near to him. And then third, a time of preparation, as the Gospel says, the second coming of Christ at the end of the world when he will come in his full glory. Now in light of this, we have our Lord in the Gospel. He gives us a warning. He says, beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness, the anxieties of daily life, that they catch you by surprise like a trap. In other words, don't get so enmeshed in the here and the now that you forget why you were created. You're destined to be in heaven. That's our true homeland. We're created to know God, to love God, and to serve God in this world in order to be happy with him in the next. But what happens? We get caught up with so many different anxieties, or someone could be working so many hours, they're not giving time to God, or someone could get so enmeshed in trying to gain the material things of the world. I just experienced, I've only been a priest for about a year or so, back at when I first started off as an associate in Batavia, and I was called to the hospital to anoint this person. So I went there, and there was a woman, she was probably maybe about 90 years of age, and when I came in, she wasn't in the ICU, she didn't have all the tubes hooked up to her and IVs and things like that, as I was expecting. I come in there, and what she was doing, she was sitting up in bed, we had a friendly conversation, but she had a mirror, and she was fixing her hair. You're putting lipstick on and things like that. I thought, well, that's sort of odd. You know, I think once you get to that stage in life, maybe you wouldn't be too concerned about the externals like that, but perhaps she had some children or grandchildren about to visit her later that day. And so I talked to her a little bit, and so I gave her the sacraments, the anointing, Holy Communion, confession, Holy Communion, and anointing. And she died that night. So I was sort of surprised when I got the call that we were going to be doing a funeral, that she had passed away. But what struck me about that is we can get so caught up with the here and now that we're perhaps looking in a mirror and we're forgetting about God, forgetting that we are just passing through here. So that's what our Lord is saying here. Beware that your hearts don't become drowsy and the crowds and the things of this world, that you're created for something much bigger and greater. Now, there are four items I thought I'd propose here, just real briefly here, that we can do for Advent. First, prayer. To recommit ourselves to a deeper life of prayer. Second, confession. Third, ask the saints. And fourth, strive to have a Eucharistic heart. So, prayer. To recommit yourselves to a deeper life of prayer. The prayer is such a gift that any time, any place, we have access to God's heart. That he hears a prayer, to recommit yourself, not just passing or just trying to get in, but actually getting into your prayer. The great Father John Hardin, who's a servant of God, he said this, it's a statement full of profound wisdom about prayer. He says, those who believe, pray. Those who do not believe, do not pray. And those who believe much, pray much. Those who believe little, pray little. Those who believe deeply, pray deeply. And those who pray weakly or feebly, pray feebly. As we pray, we believe, neither more nor less. So if we really have a deep faith, we're going to want to go to prayer as often as possible, minimally at least in the morning, to ask the Lord blessings on the day and those we'll meet. At the end of the day, to ask the Lord transgressions against love, against him, against our neighbor. So we have a deep faith. We realize, okay, God does hear us. God does hear us. And it becomes the support of our soul. Second, confession. Now, we're going to have this Tuesday night. We'll have five priests here for confession Tuesday night at 6:30. And then next week, Father James Kubicki will be here for the parish mission December 9th, 10th, 11th, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday evening. He'll be hearing confessions every night, and we have confessions other times too, provided. But during Advent, especially if you've been away, come back to the sacrament of confession. What does? It removes the different blocks that we have in our souls and our minds that God's grace can give us. Go back to confession. Get rid of any guilt, that real guilt. When you give it to our Lord in confession, it's gone. It helps us with our physical well-being too, not just our spiritual well-being, but our physical well-being. So if we have a mind that's free and a heart free of guilt, sin, we're much freer. We're much more open to the Holy Spirit. Third, the saints. Now, you can't see it from where you're sitting, but by the Advent wreath, we have many slips of paper with the names of saints on them. We've done this in previous years. Some years I've done it November 1st. I think some years, first week of January, the new calendar. This year, we're starting for the new liturgical year, starting today, Advent, new liturgical cycle. And what I would ask you to do, we're going to do this towards the end of Mass. We're going to say a prayer, and we're going to ask God's providence to guide these slips of paper with the names of particular saints into your hands. And I'm going to ask you to be praying too. So a particular saint that I'd like you to get closer to, especially starting this Advent. Now the saints are, there are brothers and sisters in Christ that have been perfected in love and they're up in the kingdom of heaven, but all the struggles we've gone through, they've been here, they've seen that, they've done that. They have compassion, they have empathy for us. It says in the book of Revelation how the saints intercede. St. John, 24 elders, the leader of God's people in heaven, fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp with the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, the prayers of the righteous here on earth. So the saints take our prayers and bring them to the throne of God. And lastly, number four, and most importantly, to develop a deeper Eucharistic life. Some call it to develop a Eucharistic heart. That it is Christ and the Blessed Sacrament, and Advent is time to reorient ourselves to be even more focused on Christ. From times when we get distracted from the things of the world, we're looking all over except and not looking at Christ. So real briefly, some encouragements why we should have a Eucharistic life. First, our Lord said, "He who eats my body and drinks my blood has life eternal, that they will be with me in the kingdom of heaven." When we receive Holy Communion in the state of sanctifying grace, the soul is receptive of those graces, our Lord said, "You shall share everlasting life in heaven." Now, I think all of us here, that's where we want to be, with Christ and with the angels and saints for all eternity. But that eternity begins here, how we live, so receiving Jesus in communion. Second, there's a greater spiritual joy that happens in the heart. Because every time we receive Holy Communion, what happens is our mind gets more attuned to the mind of Christ, to doing God's will. And the more we do God's will, the greater peace and joy we'll have of heart. St. Paul says in the Thessalonians chapter 3 today, may the Lord make you increase and abound in love. So every time we're receiving Holy Communion, we're growing that love of God and growing the love of neighbor, and we're trying to conform ourselves more and more. We're receiving graces to conform our wills more and more to God's, so we have a greater peace and the joy. Another thing, every time we receive communion, every time we go to adoration, again, we're in a state of grace, receiving communion, it helps us to overcome our passions. Sometimes people have different sins that dominate their life. It may be unforgiveness, it may be anger, this may be hard-heartedness, envy, drunkenness, gluttony, lust, some kind of sin that's dominating their life. Well, every time you come to the fount of life, Jesus Christ, He gives strength infused into the soul to overcome those passions. Those things of the world, the things of the devils, become more like an angel. Now, another thing, prevention from future sins. Every time we receive Holy Communion, it's like a spiritual vaccine that helps us overcome the things of the devil, the flesh, and the world. And it replenishes. The Holy Communion replenishes the graces that we've lost through the sins that we've committed in life. Every time we receive Holy Communion, it removes the effects of sin. The Catechism says, the Eucharist strengthens our charity, which tends to be weakened in daily life. And this living charity wipes away venial sins. This restitution through charity is twofold. That is why Jesus said, her many sins are forgiven her, for she has loved much. So we place ourselves at our Lord's feet, and He fills us up. And everything that's defective in us, He perfects. Now, There's something else too. If you want to look, remember the image of the lady looking at herself in the mirror. She wants to be presentable, look good. Well, every time we receive Holy Communion, really and truly, we become much more attractive for all eternity in the kingdom of heaven, because we become more like God. Every time we receive Holy Communion, we have a greater capacity to love. We become more lovable. Because every time we receive, we're becoming more like God. And we will love each other in heaven in proportion to their degree of glory. And the amount of sanctifying grace of death in our soul will determine the degree of glory. And sometimes we get so caught up in the things, well, I have to do this, I have to accomplish this, I have to have so much for retirement, I better have this and watch my weight. Okay, not that that's evil in itself, but if that's our end, then we miss the boat. It's eternity. And I just played for the 7th, 8th graders this past week a documentary on Mother Teresa. It was just a 42-minute tape, and it was rare because it's interviewed with her. She's sitting down, this is about 6 months before she died. And her voice is weak, and she's speaking, but you see this holy woman, and she's all shriveled up. All the years that she gave, spending herself for the Lord and for the poorest of the poor. But her soul in the kingdom of heaven is going to be so radiant and so beautiful. And someday, by God's grace and mercy, we'll be able to see the beauty in God's saints. But guess what? He wants us to have that same beauty too. By our daily actions, what we do in our prayer life, how our life revolves around the Eucharist, determines what we will be for all eternity. Father John Harden again, he says, it is impossible in human terms to exaggerate the importance of being in church or chapel before the Blessed Sacrament as often and for as long as our duties and state of life allow. But we must make a resolution, no matter the cost or inconvenience, to make a holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament at least once a week. So if you're going, praise God. May God grant you perseverance. If you're not, step up. And Advent is a time God's calling us to step up, to reorient in ourselves. So the Lord is coming. We just don't know exactly when, but are you ready? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.